إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is for Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid and His assistance and ask for His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from the evil of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, no one will be able to mislead him or her. Whomever He leaves astray, nobody can guide him or her. I swear that there is no object or deity worthy of worship except Allah alone without partner, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His slave and messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. It is the day of judgment. You are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're trembling. Your life is being displayed before your eyes like a movie or a cinema, gigabytes of data, gigabytes of high-quality video recording from every angle is being displayed. Nothing is missed. And at every minute or minutes, the video is stopped and you are asked about why you did what you did. In this case, you're a Muslim. As you're reviewing your seemingly good deeds, salah, zakah, hajj, building the Hampshire Masjid, donating to the Hampshire Masjid, building the website for the Hampshire Masjid, doing the social media for the Hampshire Masjid, maybe cleaning the Hampshire Masjid, all of these deeds that you've done in your life, Allah asks you a question: why did you do these seemingly Islamic deeds? Your answer, for your sake, Ya Allah. And Allah responds to you, you lie. You did it to seek the glory and praise of people. You did it to show off, so that people can say you're a good Muslim, you did not do it for me. Brothers and sisters, sincerity, ikhlas with niyyah, intention, doing everything for the sake of Allah is a component of our actions and speech that is fard, obligatory upon us. We must have sincerity in all actions and speech if we hope to enter Jannah. There are three points of sincerity I want to speak about today with you. Why sincerity is important, how we can make sincerity a part of our lives, and why am I talking about sincerity today? Why it matters for our time and place today. One of the most important yet the most neglected aspects of our religion is sincerity. In Arabic, ikhlas, with intention, in Arabic, niyyah. Without sincerity, there is no reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actually one can be punished even. Shaitan knows this, and Allah quotes Satan in the Quran. When Shaitan describes how he will attack the sons of Adam and Adam alayhi salam himself, he says, "I will attack all of them. I will not leave any of them. I will attack every one of them." But he knows, Shaitan knows, there's one group of the sons of Adam he will not be able to affect. He will not be able to attack. And it's quoted in the Quran in chapter 38, verse 83, "Except those of your servants who are sincere." And also from a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know the importance of sincerity. It is narrated in Sahih Muslim by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, "I heard the Messenger of Allah say, verily the first to be judged on the day of resurrection will be a man who has died a martyr, a shaheed. He will be brought forward, and Allah will remind him of the favors that He bestowed upon him in his life, and the man will acknowledge them," right? Everything that He gave this person in his life, and all of us can really be in this person's shoes, right? This is not some distant man out there. This is all of us, right? And all of the favors that Allah gave us, the clothes He gave us, the money He gave us, the car, the house, the life here in America, all the beauties that He gave this person and He gave us, and this person will acknowledge them, and he will not dispute them, because he can't dispute them. And the man, and then Allah will ask him, "What did you do to express gratitude for it, to express thankfulness for it?" The man will reply, "I fought for your cause till I was martyred." Allah will say, "You have lied. You fought so that people might call you courageous, brave, glorious, that you're a strong person, and they have done so, command will then be issued about him, and he will be dragged on his face into the hellfire. Next, a man who had acquired and imparted knowledge and read the Quran will be brought forward. Allah will remind him of the favors he had bestowed upon him, and the man will acknowledge him. Again, here's a man, we can all be in this person's shoes, right? He's been given many favors. Dunya favors, like maybe a car, maybe a house, clothes, food. But he's been also given knowledge. And this is actually a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be given knowledge of the Quran, to be given knowledge of hadith, to be given the opportunity to go to a school. This is all a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the man, when Allah displays all the favors that he gives him, he will acknowledge them. He will not be able to deny any of them. And then Allah will ask him, what did you do to express gratitude for the knowledge of the Quran and the hadith and the Islamic knowledge that I gave you? And the person replies that he went out and for Allah's sake, he spread this knowledge and he gave khutbahs and he taught other people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, you have lied. You acquired knowledge so that people might call you a reciter, so that people might call you a learned man. And they have done so. You got what you wanted. That's what you wanted from the knowledge that I gave you. And that's what you got. And the command will be issued for him, and he'll be dragged into the hellfire on his face. And then finally, a man whom Allah had made affluent, right? Allah gave him wealth and given him plenty of wealth. He'll be brought forward. And again, this, as far as wealth goes, we can all be in this category of wealth, because each of us has been given wealth, right? Each of us has enough food to eat. We have houses over our heads. We have a decent lifestyle. So I think all of us can be in this category. But it also includes the person who is very wealthy, who might build 1,000 masjids. It includes those people as well. So this man or woman will be brought before Allah, and Allah will display all of the things that he gave this person. And he will acknowledge it, he will not be able to deny it, and Allah will ask him, what did you do to express gratitude for it? And the man will reply, I did not neglect any of the ways you liked wealth to be spent liberally for your sake, right? So basically, he said, I spent my money for your sake, and I only did it for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, you have lied, you did it so that people might call you generous, and they have done so. Command will then be issued about him, and he will be dragged on his face and thrown into the hellfire. And in another narration, this hadith includes another final sentence, that these are the first of Allah's creation, the fire will be kindled with on the day of resurrection. May Allah protect us from this and not make us among them. For me, this hadith is amazing for a few reasons. One, it shows us that the people we perceive to be good may not be good. And the people we perceive to be bad may actually be the good ones, right? So we have this perception that we see a speaker or we see somebody who we think to be generous, or vice versa, we see somebody, all he does is maybe he cleans the bathrooms, or maybe he just prays a little bit of salah and leaves, and we perceive him to maybe be a bad Muslim, a not good Muslim. But in reality, we have no idea the hearts of people, why they're doing something or not doing something. And there's a famous story, maybe you've heard this story, maybe you haven't. It's called The Pious Drunkard and Fornicator. It's an interesting story which I want to share with you today. It takes place in the Ottoman Empire in the time of Sultan Murad, around the 1600s. And Sultan Murad, he had a practice of going out in the public at nighttime in secret. He would disguise himself so people would not know that he is the Sultan. And he would go with the head of security, and they would just go out and see what the people are doing, what they're saying. Are they happy? Are they sad? You know. And this was actually a practice of the Sahaba. Umar radiallahu anhu would do a similar practice. So he would go out disguised. And one night, he felt like he needed to go out. He had a feeling inside of him that he needed to go out. So he went out with the head of his security. And as they're walking, they see a person lying on the ground. And he looks dead. Right, so they go up to the body, they check the body, they confirm it is dead. It's a dead body for sure. And people are walking by, and nobody is paying attention to this dead body. So the Sultan calls out to the people. Of course, they don't know he's the Sultan. And he says, you know, woe to you. Why don't you do something with this body? Why don't you bury it? Why don't you take care of it? You know, it's a Muslim, right? And the people say he was a drunk and he was a fornicator, right? And we don't want to bury his body, you know, because he was a drunk and a fornicator. And the Sultan says, Well, wasn't he part of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Please help me carry this body to his house. So they help him, a few people help him carry the body to the house, and they drop the body in front of the door of his house, and they all leave him. So again, he's alone with the head of security because they don't want anything to do with it. And the wife comes out and says, thank you so much for bringing my righteous husband home. This righteous man, thank you for bringing him home to me. And the Sultan looks at her in shock and in bewilderment and says, how is he righteous? Everybody said that we met that he's a fornicator and that he's a sinner, that he was a drunk. And she said, I knew that this was going to happen to him. Let me tell you his story. She said that every night he would go out to the bar and he would purchase as much alcohol as he can afford and he would bring it home. And then he would pour it down the sink in his home. And then he would say, today I saved the ummah from some people getting drunk today. And then he would go back out and he would find a prostitute and he would give her some money and tell her to go home tonight. And then he would come home and tell me that he saved the ummah from a vice, from the vice of zina, of fornication. And he kept doing this for years upon years. He would keep doing this. This was a regular practice of this. To the point that people would start to believe that he was a drunkard and he was a fornicator. And even I heard about this. It came to me, this knowledge, right? And I got so upset about it that one day I said to my husband, nobody's going to bury your body when you die. Nobody's going to want to bury your body because of the reputation you have in the community. And he laughed at me and he said, verily, I swear that the Sultan and the pious ones will pray over my body and they will bury them. And the Sultan cried and he said, I am the Sultan. And tomorrow I will bury his body with the pious ones of this ummah, the scholars. And the point of the story is that, first of all, sincerity, this is what sincerity can do. If you have sincere actions, you have sincere speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make the Sultan of the greatest empire come off his throne and bury your body, right? And another point of the story is that we don't know who's sincere, whose actions and speech is accepted, and whose actions and speech is not accepted, so we're not in a position to judge. There is a statement from Ibn Taymiyyah, narrated from Ibn Qayyim. He said, and I heard Ibn Taymiyyah say, just as the best of the people are the prophets, then the worst of the people is the one who imitates them, giving the false impression that he is from them while he is not from them. The best of the people after the prophets are the ulama, the scholars, the shuhada, those who sacrifice for Allah, the siddiqun, the trustworthy one, and the mukhlisun. And the worst of the people is the one who imitates them while giving the false impression that he is from them while he is not from them. May Allah save us from being among the people who are hypocrites. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, verily the reward of deeds depends upon the niyyah, upon the intention. And every person will get the reward according to what he intended, right? So every action, every speech that we do, that I do in my life, if it is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I don't have Allah before me and after me, and I'm always thinking about Him and bringing Him into it, then it is a potentiality that it could be against us, right? Because now we're worshipping potentially somebody or something else. The question might naturally occur, can I have two or three intentions, right? So I want to build the Hampshire Masjid, right? I want to donate to the Hampshire Masjid, and I want to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I also want to increase in fame in the community. I want people in the community to know I'm a generous man, right? I've done such and such for the community. Can you have two or three or multiple intentions, right? And there's two hadiths that I want to narrate to you today that address this question. First hadith is, whoever immigrated to Allah and His Messenger, then his migration was for Allah and His Messenger, and whoever immigrated for worldly benefits, or for a woman to marry, his migration is what he migrated for. In another hadith, a man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, what about a man who joined jihad to earn reward as well as fame? Right? So he wants the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he also wants the people in the community to know that he's a good man. What will he earn? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, nothing. Verily Allah only accepts what was performed in sincerity to him seeking his face, meaning his honor and glory and pleasure. In the Quran, Allah speaks about sincerity multiple times. In Surah Bayana, Ayah 41, Allah says, "No, nor sell my signs for a small price." Right? Don't sell the deen for the American dream. There's a saying, don't sell the deen for the American dream. Meaning, like, don't use the Quran, don't use the hadith, don't use the religion to gain fame, right? Or even donating money, you know, to the masjid just so you can gain fame. Don't sell Allah's signs, His ayat, His religion, for your own fame and gain. In Surah Bayana, Ayah 5, they were not commanded but that they should worship Allah sincerely and worship none but Him, and that they should perform prayer and pay zakah. That is the right religion, right? So this is our goal in life. This is our object of life. Allah is telling us in Surah Bayana, they were not commanded but that they should worship Allah sincerely, with sincerity, right? In chapter 98, verse 5, and they have been commanded no more than this, to worship Allah, offering Him sincere devotion, being true in faith. Again, Allah is calling us to be sincere in our devotion to Him, in our prayers to Him, in our zakah, in our charity, in our hajj, in every action that we do in the religion and even out of the religion. Really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be part of our actions and our speech. In chapter 4, Ayah 142, and when they stand up for salah, they stand with laziness and to be seen of men and women. So even our salah, right, coming to Jummah today, all of us are here for Jummah, should not be so that we can be seen by other people. Our salah should not be so that we can be seen by other people. There's a funny story recently narrated to me, where a man, he goes into this masjid in a Muslim country, a large, very large masjid, and he's standing there and he's praying salah. And as he's praying salah, he's doing it quickly because he has to go take care of something. And he hears the door open behind him. Somebody walks in. So he decides to extend the salah very long, you know, much longer, maybe triple, quadruples it, right? And then he makes his salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He looks back and it's a dog, a stray dog that walked into the masjid. And the point of the story is that our actions and our speech need to be for the sake of Allah, not for any other creature, including human beings, or dogs, or animals, or anybody else, right? Should be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In chapter 8, ayah 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and be not like those who come out of their homes boastfully and to be seen of men, right? So they live their lives just to be seen of other people. They buy clothes just to be seen of other people. They buy the new iPhone 7 just to be seen of other people. And they like to boast about it. They like to show off about it. And the reality is, my friends, we have no right to show off about anything. Because the reality is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything and we own nothing. And when we die, nothing comes with us except our deeds, right? So in reality, we don't have any right to boast. And boasting is really pulling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's trying to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's trying to make us ourselves feel good and say we are, in a sense, equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we're not at all, at any level. And may Allah protect us from that. All the Sahaba fought hypocrisy. This is something that all the Sahaba fought, right? This is a fight of every human being. No human being, no scholar, no adam is saved from this fight of hypocrisy. And even Umar and the other Sahaba are recorded crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not make us among the hypocrites. Do not make us among the people who are insincere. Please accept our deeds, right? So if they cried about it, who are we? We also, including myself, need to cry about it on a daily level. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I say this and I seek forgiveness from Allah for me and for you and for the rest of the Muslims. So ask Him for forgiveness. He is surely the one who forgives, the most merciful. Ask for forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah, amma ba'd. So for those of you who came late today, our topic for the khutbah is sincerity, and why and how sincerity is so important for our deeds, for our akhirah. And I'm in the second part of the khutbah, and the second topic of this khutbah is how we can make sincerity a part of our lives. So there's two groups of people that I've seen in my life that they have a practice that I want to share with you that I really feel can help, if we implement it in our lives, can bring sincerity into all of our lives. One is the people of Yemen. Whenever they want to make a purchase, even a small purchase, like a bag of sugar, a bag of rice, anything that they want to purchase, they make a dua to Allah. They put their hands up and they recite Surah Fatiha, which is a dua. And then they say Ameen, and then they make the decision, right? And this is I thought this is a beautiful practice. And this is something I'm trying to implement in my life. And the second practice that I saw a group of people do that brought sincerity into their lives is the people of Turkey. And I lived with Turks for 2 years. Whenever they have a halaka, they have a board meeting, they have any meeting, at the end of the meeting, they would recite a verse from Surah Baqarah. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Glory be to Allah, we have no knowledge save that which you have given us. You are all-knowing, all-wise. And then they would say the Fatiha, right? At the end of any halaka, at the end of any board meeting, right? And it's just verifying to their egos, to their nafs, to their souls, that we are not knowledgeable about anything. Allah has all the knowledge, right? He has all the wisdom. And we ask Him for guidance. Yeah, we just sat here in a one-hour board meeting, and we said we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and people fought about this and that. But at the end of it, we ask Allah for forgiveness, and He is all-knowing, all-wise. And this was a beautiful way we can bring sincerity into our lives. In chapter 12, verse 53, Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf, he says, "Nor do I absolve my own self of blame. The human soul is certainly prone to evil unless my sustainer do bestow His mercy." Right? So the one thing that we have to do to start accepting Allah into our lives and to ask for that sincerity is that we have to be in a state of acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives, right? We have to, so Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, "Nor do I absolve my own self of blame," right? You yourself is prone to evil. Every human being can be prone to evil. And the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is accepting this. He's coming out of that state of denial. We need to also be out of that state of denial and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us in whatever we do. So there's seven tips that I had for gaining sincerity in our lives. Number one, you should seek the divine pleasure in your actions and speech, right? So in everything that you do, you're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Number two, you don't want to criticize your brothers and sisters who are employed in the service of the Qur'an. Instead, see them as fellow components of a factory, joint reward, joint pain. So, like right here, all of us together, we're working towards building this masjid, the Hampshire Masjid, inshallah. You guys are all in a factory, in a sense, a spiritual factory, and you're producing spirituality for the people of Hampshire County, right? And Amherst, right? When you fight amongst each other, it takes away from the main goal, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is salah, which is serving the people. And Allah says in the Quran, chapter 8, ayah 46, "Do not fall into dispute, lest you lose heart and power depart." Number three, give up your desires for a fellow believer for the sake of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, "But give them preference over themselves." So you're in a dispute with somebody here in the masjid about moon sighting, right? Just an example that I've seen many times. You know you're right, you know he's wrong. Just give it to your brother, right? Just give it to him, give it to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will bring that situation up and will reward you for it, inshallah. Number four, give with the right hand so secretly that the left hand does not see. And back to that story that I gave of the pious drunkard and fornicator, right? He did his actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah took care of him. He took care of his akhirah. We don't know what's going to happen, but I believe his akhirah is good. But he took care of his worldly life too. Right, he brought the sultan to take care of him. So one of the categories of the people who will be shaded on the Day of Judgment is the person who does this. They give with their right hand so secretly that the left hand doesn't see it. Meaning that whatever they do and every actions and all their speech is for the sake of Allah. They don't want any reward from anybody else. They just want it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, no one is guaranteed Jannah for the reason that sincerity is secret. I can't look inside your hearts and say this person's sincere, this person's not. I have no idea who's sincere and who is not. And it's for this reason, even Sahaba made dua against insincere actions and speech. So make dua daily, right? Like you want something like marriage, for example, or you want a new car, or you want a promotion at work. We're very strong in these duas usually, right? In these worldly matters. I would extol you, I would encourage you to be more concerned about sincerity in your actions and speech. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like you would ask for a marriage, just like you would ask for a promotion at work after every salah, please make me among the sincere ones. Please make me among the righteous ones who obeys you and worships you for your sake. Number six, remind yourself about sincerity constantly. Right? One imam, he told me that every 2 weeks you should read a book or something about sincerity to remind yourself why sincerity is important. Right? I remember I'm on this blog that I follow called MuslimMatters.com, and I see their postings on Facebook. Like every time there's a new posting, they stick it on Facebook. And they had a posting about sincerity one time. It got like maybe 5 likes. The posting about marriage got 200 likes, right? So that's, you know, but the marriage is something of the dunya, right? But the sincerity, that's gonna determine more likely your akhirah, right? And it's very important. Number seven, remember death often. Death is the killer of pleasures and makes it easy to be sincere, right? So if you remember death, it's easy to be sincere. I no longer want to show off to you, right? I'm about to go meet my Lord. And my eternity is determined depending on how I do my actions and speech. Umar radiallahu anhu, the second caliph and the righteous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a ring on his finger. And that ring said, "Oh Umar, death is a sufficient reminder for you." And that ring reminded him, anytime he wanted to do an action, anytime he wanted to do a speech, he would remember death because it was right on his finger. Right? And one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us of encouraged us to do is to visit the graves. He encouraged us to actually go, take a day, take a few hours, maybe after Jummah on Friday, and go to the graveyard. It doesn't have to be a Muslim graveyard. There's one in Enfield. It's encouraged to go to the Muslim graveyard. But even go to the non-Muslim graveyard. Just walk around. Just reflect. Just think that I'm going to be under this ground. Right? That will make you a super sincere person. Right? If you can keep remembering death. And this is something I try to do. I try to visit graveyards at least once a month, and just look at the names, read the dates, because it reminds me that I will also be under this ground very shortly. So I want to go to the third part of the khutbah really quickly, why I'm talking about sincerity today. Why did I decide to talk about sincerity today? We're living in a time and a place that is very unique. First of all, we're at the end of time, right? According to the consensus of the ulama, we're at the end of time. But more importantly, we're a minority in this country. And I think we have a great responsibility that we're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment, right? All around us, we have people who are saying Islam is evil, Islam is bad. And we're living in a country that determines the outcomes and the foreign policy and even the standards for the rest of the world, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in the university level, whether it's in college, whether it's for the military, whatever it is, America sets the standard for the rest of the world. It influences the rest of the world. And us being the Muslims in this country, in the most powerful country in the world, we have a responsibility to influence the people around us towards goodness, towards righteousness, right? And if we influence them, then they will influence the rest of the world. And that will set the standard. Even the scholars of America, the Muslim scholars of America, are becoming the most famous in the whole world. So if we have sincerity in our actions, in our speech, inshallah, in about a month or two, I'll be coming to this library to talk about Islam to the non-Muslims here. If I don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with me, if I'm not doing that speech for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will have no effect upon the hearts of the people here. I must have sincerity in my speech. I must call upon Allah and ask Him and beg Him to make my speech successful. Right? Before the Battle of Badr, when the Prophet ﷺ goes into the Battle of Badr, he makes a dua, such a sincere dua, that Abu Bakr comes and tells him, inshallah, your dua will be accepted, calm down. Because he was crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's a prophet of Allah. Right? So we need to be just as sincere. We need to make the dua. We need to call upon Allah and bring sincerity in our lives at every moment and in every place. My brothers and sisters, if there are any mistakes, they are from me, and I ask for your forgiveness. If there's any good from me that you heard today, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise Him and seek Him sincerely in everything that you do. Remember Allah the Exalted, and He will remember you. Thank Him for His blessings, and He will increase you. And there is nothing greater than the remembrance of Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Surely Allah and His angels bless the Prophet. O you who believe, invoke blessings of Allah on him and pray to Allah to bestow His peace on him, greeting him with the best greeting. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Messenger of Allah. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Beloved of Allah. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Faithful Messenger of Allah's revelation. O Allah, bestow your peace and blessings upon our Master Muhammad, upon his family and companions, as many times as there are leaves on the trees and waves in the oceans and drops in the rains. O Allah, for the sake of every one of those blessings, forgive us, have mercy on us, and grant us divine favors. O Allah, protect us from the fire. O Allah, protect us from all kinds of trials in our religious and worldly affairs. O Allah, protect us from the trials of this age. O Allah, protect us from the trials of Masih ad-Dajjal. O Allah, protect us from going astray, from invention in religion, and from calamities. O Allah, protect us from the evil of the deluded ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil of the Pharaoh-like ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil that may come from women and men. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the judgment day. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of hell. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of being subject to your wrath. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave and the fire. O Allah, protect us from hypocrisy, from showing off in our prayers, from confidence in our good deeds, and from vanity. O Allah, protect us from being wronged by those who go astray. O Allah, protect us from the evil of hypocrites. O Allah, protect us from the menace of the sinners. O Allah, protect and give peace to the Muslims struggling all over the world. The Muslims of Syria, Myanmar, Pakistan, China, America, Russia, and in every corner where Muslims struggle in your way, please assist and help them. O Allah, protect us, our parents, students serving in the way of the Quran and faith, our friends who are sincere believers, our relatives and our ancestors from the fire. We seek your forgiveness, O you who grants refuge. We seek your favor and blessings, O most forgiving. O Allah, admit us into Jannah, along with the truly virtuous. Admit us, our teachers, our parents, all our brothers and sisters, our relatives, our ancestors, and our believing friends who are steadfast in the service of the Quran and faith and who devote themselves unto Allah alone. Admit us all into Jannah with the truly virtuous. Ameen. All praise is due to the sustainer of all the worlds. Aqim as-salah.